How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm kind of down. I always get kind of down these 2 days.
Because it's the end of the season, or because Rutgers is, you know, where Rutgers always is at home?
Little of both. A little of both.
Tell me about it. Let's sit on the couch. Tell me about it.
It's just, I don't know. It's fun to watch the games, and once the games start, I'll get into it again. But Selection Sunday, I'm sitting there like, oh, we're worried about what assistant coach we're going to hire or who's going to transfer.
But isn't that exciting? I mean, part of the excitement for a team that's in the doldrums is the knowledge that there are moves that you can make that will make a team better, that will bring hope. And I know for me, I've been watching a lot of what's gone on around St. John's, and one of the reasons I got into sports blogging at all is because I felt like a lot of people had narratives that didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of logical things that were wrong, but people weren't talking about what was wrong. They were talking about things like, we're not getting enough hometown kids,
which
you know, always sounded like crap to me. It's not... Both because it's not, you know, that's not the way things go anymore, but also because that's not the problem. The problem was that the coaching was just not very good.
Right.
So, you know, the point of this all is that I think there's a lot of hope that one can get in these quiet, dark days, you know, those moments where you're back in the lab, you know, trying to construct what it is you're going to do. And for Rutgers is in the position of hope still.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's just I kind of like...
You'd rather be watching games. You'd rather be like, is Miles Mack going to go off and lead Rutgers into the finals of the CIT?
Right. Even that, I would just take a couple more games. You know, it's been 8 years since there's been postseason basketball. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. That's miserable.
Yeah, so it was Gary Waters last year when they went to the NIT. So, and we all knew he was being fired, and that was different. We were kind of rooting for them to lose so they could move on.
Yeah,
and Fred Hill could get the job. And
because,
you know,
Fred Hill was the great hope.
Oh, yeah. And Lance Thomas, and, you know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a wasted, it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Postseason. So.
Yeah. Well, let's actually introduce people to what on earth they're listening to. Because this is not half bad. The podcast talking about Rutgers and St. John's, two teams that are not in the NCAA tournament, but will be one day. It's Monday, the 17th of March.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm, St. Patrick's Day, if you're celebrating. And I know a lot of you probably are. And when you hear this podcast, you'll be nursing a hangover. This is Norman of Rumble.
Stop talking so loud, Norman.
We're gonna yell like Dick Vitale, baby! It's awesome! This is Norman of Rumble in the Garden. You can find me at RumbleSBN and sometimes yelling out my window.
And this is Dave of OnTheBanks.com, who is wallowing in misery, but trying to get back at it.
You know the problem? You have not had enough Jameson tonight.
I haven't. I haven't had any.
No Irish car bombs?
No, I got to go play basketball in 45 minutes.
Well, you should do that smelling like liquor. Every good basketball smells like liquor.
Yeah.
Basketballer smells like liquor.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's talk about what the currents around the two teams. We've been talking a little bit about Rutgers and their current situation, where right now they are looking for a new assistant coach. And in a very interesting way, it seems like Eddie Jordan is what, clearing house?
Yeah, it looks like, I'm just going on what I've read. It looks like there's a lot of rumors. He fired David Cox, who was Mike Rice's lead assistant.
He's the fellow with the really nice mustache. Good-looking guy. Cuts a nice figure.
Yeah. You know, they according to a couple articles, they never really saw eye to eye. And they have the same contacts. Both are tied to that Washington, D.C. DMV area. So it's kind of two guys covering one area in terms of recruiting.
What, Eddie Jordan and David Cox?
Yeah.
But Eddie Jordan's not a recruiter. He will be because he's a head coach. But, you know, David Cox has, you know, cut his teeth on this recruiting thing. Wasn't he an AAU coach? Wasn't he a D.C. Assault guy, maybe?
Yeah, he was a D.C. Assault guy. But so was Jordan. Jordan coached the D.C. Assault.
Oh, I didn't know
when he was out of the NBA. He coached Roddy Peters and...
Oh, then he doesn't need David Cox at all. Forget that. No, you know, I mean, I'm serious. I'm not being entirely flippant, but if he's actually coached DC Assault,
yeah, Nate Britt, you know, he's got
ties enough to be like, you know, I know these guys, I know the right people to talk to, you know, tell me whose mom I need to talk to, or whose,
right,
you know, friend, or, you know, what fledgling crap rapper I need to sidle up to get this kid to come to my campus, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, he fires Cox about 2 hours after Cox was fired. There was all these rumors that Jerron Collins, brother of Jason, mm-hmm. Was going to be named the next assistant coach. And I kind of wonder if they floated that, like, to see what the reaction would be.
Yeah. The way that you do in politics.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when you told me that, my first reaction was surprise. And by the way, in case any of you are wondering, because some of you are probably thinking that, not because I was like, oh, Jerron Collins, is he the gay one or not? No, nothing like that. I'm fully down with what Jason's doing. But
yeah,
to me, actually, the thing that I first think about when I think about the twins, about Jason and Jerron, is that those two guys were, yes, tall, but they were mostly unathletic. And I feel like they would make great big man coaches because they figured out the basics of being a big man without a lot of skill, you know, move fluidly enough that you can keep up with the other guy, play defense like a madman because most big men don't, and get your hands up, grab a few rebounds.
Yeah.
Neither of them were ever spectacular, but they always fought. They always competed. They were always gamers. And I feel like that's a skill that you can impart to kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate it when people bring in, you know, former players who are spectacular former players. You're like, how are you going to impart anything to these kids? They're not, you know, you never bring Allen Iverson in to be a coach because nobody else can be Allen Iverson.
Right.
Nobody's that deranged and that skilled.
Mm-hmm. I think they floated it, and Collins, you know, overnight took to Twitter and denied it and asked for a retraction, said he hadn't spoken to Coach Jordan since he was with the Lakers, all sorts of things. I think he's out scouted. He's a scout for one of the West Coast teams, Sacramento, maybe.
Okay.
Collins is. So he denied. But if you look at his Twitter account, about 15 minutes after he denied, he started following all the Rutgers beat reporters. So, you know, and the school paper and stuff like that. So I don't know if he wanted to see if people were talking about him or.
Yeah, you know, he just likes being in the limelight again. And also he really likes the State University of New Jersey.
Yeah. So that was the big rumor, but that quieted down over the weekend. And the other name that came up is a former Jordan buddy, NBA assistant Mike O'Koren. I don't know if you know that name, Norman.
No, not at all. I mean, I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about him.
I know nothing about him either. My father actually said he's a Jersey City guy, mm-hmm. Which would be, if he can recruit, nice. But
if he's an older Jersey City guy, how is he going to recruit? He's going to be attached to an earlier version of Jersey City. Anyway, go on.
Right. Anyway, so his name was floated. He was floated for the director of basketball operations job when Jordan first took it, and it didn't work out. There's still rumors that they might fire another coach. I've seen on Rivals and around, and some of the articles said there's expected to be more changes.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of rumors about transfers. So that's kind of been the weekend, the fallout, because if you didn't hear, Rutgers lost in the AAC tournament.
They didn't win it?
Well, I know.
You know, we don't have to talk about how much Rutgers got tripled up by Louisville. It was tripled 61. Up, right?
Yeah, it was 61 points.
That was amazing. It was like 31 points that they scored. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, tell me about that game. What was the highlight of that game for you? End.
No. Hold on. You want the highlight now in retrospect?
Uh-huh.
For the entire AAC tournament, Louisville trailed for a total of 27 seconds. Those 27 seconds came against Rutgers, who led both 7-6 and 10-9.
Impressive.
Yeah. So that was that. They did win the first ever AAC tournament game, beating South Florida, who fired their coach immediately after that.
Yeah, I saw it was like an hour afterwards that they fired Stan Heath.
Yeah, basically it was like, you done with your press conference? All right, pack your bags.
Yeah, Stan, we like you, buddy, but I'm the new AD, and I'm going to whip out my whip. Or my gun, or whatever.
Yeah. So that's where we are, and it's kind of like a big transitional period. And I was telling Norman, you know, it's 8 years of no postseason at all. It's 23 years of no NCAA tournament. So a little melancholy. Selection Sunday is a little bit melancholy, but yeah. Norman was trying to talk me up a little, you know, in a period of hope.
Yes, I think that despite St. John's being in the NIT, which we will talk about, I think that, you know, this is just part of life. You know, I think that, again, I've been a Mets fan all my life, so, you know, yeah. Grains of salt. I don't expect postseasons all the time, and mm-hmm. sometimes you don't get them, and you find other teams to enjoy. You try right. to appreciate the effort of your team if there was effort, or you appreciate the way that they flamed out if there's flame out, and you find other teams to follow. You know, I love watching Michigan State in the tournament, even yeah. though they're kind of boring and just kind of clinical. You know, they're like the I don't have a good analogy, but they are boring and clinical. You know, I find teams to hate, or as I was telling Dave, yeah. to hate watch. You know, in the past, I would have this like love hate thing with like Missouri and UCLA because I followed both teams in the middle part of the last decade, and both teams, Steve Lavin's UCLA teams and Quinn Snyder's Missouri teams, would have spectacular ways of giving you hope and reminding you that, no, we can take hope away from you at any point, in any day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But before we go to reasons of hope and all of that.
Sorry.
No. Don't be sorry. This is it's the free flowing exchange of ideas here. And before we get to that, we should follow our general agenda so we can get you out to play your basketball, Dave. I mean,
I know. I gotta get some exercise. Than that,
yeah. Do you dunk on people?
No, I can't dunk.
Oh. Yeah. I had a friend once who decided he wanted to dunk. He's maybe about your height or so, right? Mm. And he trained for a while. He had all these exercises he would do at his desk, you know, getting his calves and ankles strong. And he was like, yeah, I'm getting there. He's like, Norman, I'm getting there. I'm getting there, right? And he finally gets to uncork one in a game, right? And he goes right. up and he yams on a dude. One-handed, it wasn't all that much yam, I'm sure. I don't know. And then he comes down and his ankle does not deal well with it. And in the intervening years, he's tried to play ball again. And he's been recently told by a doctor that he should never play basketball again. Like he has like really bad plantar fasciitis on one leg and then an ankle problem on the other. And basically one of the ankles needs to be reconstructed for him to play the way he wanted to.
Right.
So yeah. That's a lesson to you kids. Don't dunk.
Last time I tried to dunk was on a middle school basket, so a little smaller, and I didn't dunk it, and my back seized up. So,
see, I'm surprised. This you're a pretty sizable guy. I feel like you could get up there.
Yeah, I got to get back. I don't jump enough. I don't do enough jumping exercises.
Are you more of a big man player? You get sweaty and get some goggles on and just like you know.
I'm 6'3" playing pickup ball, so I'm one of the tallest guys on the court. I should be playing like a guard position, and I end up having to post up and guard guys 3 feet taller than me. You know, yeah. That sort of thing. That would be a record.
No. No, my brother always hated that too when he used to play pickup because he's like 6'4" or so. And yeah, he was always playing the post. He was like, nah, he's more of a guard wing. You know, he had some skills and he definitely could throw down, but it was like, you know, he's a fairly big guy and fairly muscular and he'd have to bang in the post. He's like, that's boring. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So St. John's.
St. John's. Yeah. So St. John's is in the NIT.
Yay! Somebody's not half bad.
This is like the NIT is the embodiment of not half bad. It's a fun exercise in seeing which teams give a flying rat's ass.
Exactly.
Because there are always two or three teams that get in there and you're like, I know they're talented, but I know they're going to lay down the first time they get hit in the mouth. Last year it was Kentucky playing at Robert Morris because, you know, of course they're Kentucky. So of course they book their arena in March. I mean, they're not going to need it for anything, right? Right. Yonk, yonk. You know, they end up having to go out to Pittsburgh to play, but they were the one seed. Robert Morris was the 8 from the NEC, and Kentucky had all the size and talent. And Robert Morris was just like, forget this, we're about to be heroes tonight. and they were heroes just for one day. I mean, they took out number one NIT seed Kentucky, because Kentucky didn't really care and didn't really start playing until late. And, you know, that's just the long and short of it. You got to come and bring effort. And that's one of the great things about basketball, really, that it really rewards effort. If you're not coming and playing hard, anybody can knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I agree. And it's funny. I mean, not to bring back the Rutgers.
God, you're obsessed.
And I know, connection. But when Waters got his first job and the team was unbeatable at home, they were on the bubble, 18 wins, and they went to the NIT. And the famous quote is, because they got matched up against Yale, they're not practicing hard in practice, and Waters stops practice and, you know, starts ripping into him. And one of the players looks at him and goes, "But coach, it's only Yale." And they ended up losing by like five, mm-hmm. you know. So
do you know what player it was?
I'm sure it was Mike Sherrod or Jerome Coleman. The player was never named, but those would be my two guesses. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a funny line. I'd never heard that one before.
Yeah, coach, it's only Yale. And then two years later, they made it, and Waters made them sign a contract that they would play hard, and they went all the way to the Garden.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's they're looking at the NIT field. There are a number of teams that you can kind of call the, I smell a mail-in performance, you know, and mm-hmm. one hopes that St. John's isn't one of them, because St. John's is obviously disappointed. All these guys thought that they were going to go to the NCAA tournament, and now they're in the NIT. They couldn't, you know, they just couldn't make it. And there are a number of reasons about this, which we'll touch on later, hopefully after they win tomorrow night.
Who are they playing?
Ooh. Robert Morris.
Oh, heroes da, da. Year two.
Then they're also the one seed to Robert Morris's eight seed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is kind of a fun situation. And I'm sure Lavin's going to show them video and such and blah, 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 blah. But I'll actually say that one kind of wonders sometimes whether Steve Lavin is able to get through to all of his charges. There's some guys who play consistently well. And I always feel like the term hard, playing hard, is kind of a misnomer, because it's not just about, I'm going to go straight at the basket. That's not necessarily playing hard. Sometimes that's playing selfishly. Like, playing hard is a mixture of an understanding of what the plan is on the court, an understanding of what your teammates are going to do and a trust in that, and the energy to, you know, make your cuts, make them strong and sharp, and play the defense you need to play, stick with your man, not get distracted, you know, have a laser focus on the thing you need to while still being paying attention to the world around you. You know what I mean?
Yep, 50-50 balls. Getting 50-50 balls, not panicking, not trying to do it all, being in the game.
Yeah.
Time and score.
And I feel like St. John's has these periods where they play quote-unquote hard, where guys are like, I'm going to be the hero right now. But that's not playing hard. That's playing selfishly.
It's hustling, but it's not playing hard.
Yeah, and it's not even like false hustle, where, you know, there are guys who also have false hustle. You know, I'm not going to call dudes out like Sir Dominic Poynter. But, you know, there are guys who definitely have some false hustle, where sometimes you're like, that guy is on, he is sharp, he's playing the game. And then other times you're like, you're being a fake thug right now. You know, play your game, keep your head about you, and lead as you're supposed to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, there are a lot of questions around what kind of performance we're going to see from St. John's. They should be able to handle Robert Morris. But this is a team that struggled against Longwood and struggled against Monmouth and struggled against DePaul recently and struggled against Wagner, who are in the NEC. I'm sorry, but you can't take those performances and say, oh, that's over, until you see it be over, until you see a team take their business seriously, execute as if they're playing – execute every play in every game as if they're playing a major opponent, and that's where growth comes, you know? And that's been a problem with St. John's, where, you know, when they get to the big games, they execute on a high level, just not high enough. And maybe part of it's because they're not executing at a high enough level
in the other games.
Yeah, and when they have the games that they think that they can win. It's frustrating to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting. I what's your gut say?
My gut says they win. Okay. I don't know why, and I don't – this isn't – it feels like All right, one of the problems with the Big East in particular, and with a number of conferences, is that it's hard to really get a read on how much heart the team has. Because they're beatable teams, and the team beats the beatable teams, and then there are other teams, and the team can't get over the hump. And how much of that's talent and skill, and how much of that is, you know, a lack of heart and understanding, you know?
Right.
And St. John's has enough to recommend them to say that they can go all the way. They can win this damn thing. They could definitely win the NIT. These are not crazy world beater teams. I mean, it's a really an interesting NIT field because it's not like there are teams that are, except for St. John's, honestly, there aren't teams that are known for being ultra talented but not playing particularly well. There are a lot of mediocre talented teams that play okay.
Right.
But I feel like the NIT is famous for having these teams that are like the Kentuckys and the Baylors of the world, where they're, you know, they're so talented, and you keep thinking, oh, if they turn it on for five games, they'll definitely win this, but they never turn it on for five games.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how you know you have a crap team. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, I look at these brackets, and besides Illinois, I think St. John's is the only other team that has that, a bit of that look. You know, a team that had great expectations that didn't quite meet them. So
right.
That's a worry.
Yeah.
But my gut does say that there are enough guys on this team who like winning and want to play and don't give up in any games that they can carry this team along.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that too because I don't think, like, St. John's doesn't really have, and this is interesting to think about now, St. John's actually doesn't have the bad loss that they've had in years past. There's no Northeastern loss. There's no
Lavin loss.
Yeah, there's no Lavin loss. You know, there's no loss to Fordham. They saw Fordham and they tore that up like it was like they were a dog and it was like a McDonald's wrapper with a hamburger
right.
inside. I mean,
right.
they tore that up. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, the only really questionable performances have been against DePaul. Who do have some talent to recommend them, and you know they know that St. John's is a beatable team. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, I think St. John's can make it all the way to back to Madison Square Garden. They'll be playing at home for a whole month. That's really cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
I mean, that's
got to get you up.
Yeah, that's an amazing opportunity. And and looking at this bracket, if you haven't seen the NIT bracket, we have one on Rumble in the Garden. So go and check it out. In most of the NIT posts, it'll be linked. So St. John's path goes like this. Robert Morris tomorrow night, March 18th, on ESPNU at 7 p.m.
ESPU.
And then the second round is up in the air, depending on TV, but sometime between Thursday and Sunday, whenever the 24th is. Is that Sunday or Monday? I don't even know.
24th is Monday.
Oh, wow. So anytime between Thursday and Monday, they'll play their second game at home against either Green Bay or Belmont. That's
Vince Garrett!
That is the warning game, yes. Because you never want to face Vince Garrett in his... anyway. No, Green Bay is a competitive team.
Yeah.
Alec, what's his name? Alec Brown is very talented. Kiefer Sykes is a very good guard. I think they're beatable, but I also think that they can really take teams out. They beat Virginia, you know? And mm-hmm. Belmont has J.J. Mann and I forget the other guard wing that they have. But Rick Bird's a longtime coach with a lot of NCAA tournament experience. And that's a team that will definitely get up for, I can knock off St. John's, I'm going to knock off some St. John's. They will
right.
throw them looks. They will confuse the hell out of them. That'll be a tough matchup. So, and after that, the 25th and 26th are the quarterfinals. And that will be against some melange of either Illinois, who's the 2 seed, which I'm going to bet you right now they will not be there, Clemson, which is the 3 seed, an awesome defensive team that cannot score for their damn lives, Georgia State, which has a very interesting pair of Ryan Harrow and R.J. Hunter, Ryan Harrow, the former Kentucky player, and All-American, I believe, as well. And then Boston U, who, come on now, come on. The only thing to recommend about Boston U, though, is that Illinois has to travel to Boston to play them because I guess they also had their alumni hall or whatever you call it down in Champaign rented out. So point of this all is that I think St. John's has a fairly solid way to the Garden, where they'll face the SMU bracket for the semifinals. And, you know, that one has, like, you know, San Francisco, who they've beaten, is in that bracket. LSU, who's very interesting, is in that back bracket. California, well coached, but always kind of falls a little short. Arkansas with Mike Anderson trying to bring back the Nolan Richardson style. Indiana State. It's kind of there's a lot of fun to be had in this tournament, you know, and if you like basketball, it's worth watching. And for the players, it's worth playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be interesting. I'm very interested to see how St. John's does. But we won't know that for a couple days.
This is true. Well, you know, I mean, we'll know tomorrow.
Yes. Well, I just meant overall.
Yeah.
So, but it's always nice to be playing in March, even if it's the NIT.
True.
Always nice to get a little extra basketball in.
I mean, one hopes that all the kids think that way, because there are definitely guys who just get let down and, you know, they get distracted, and then they only notice that they're losing with like 5 minutes left, and then you put on a press and, you know, get the game within one and then lose by five. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of last week in the Big East tournament. This is not half bad. That performance was very bad.
Yeah. So, all right. So we have a listener question since we're talking St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see what I got. Oh, you got three questions.
Now, I will say that I'm going to answer these questions quickly, because these are all very, very good questions that I think we should spend a lot more time on. And I know we don't have that time.
I got about 12 minutes, Norman.
Okay, so I will read the question from Mark Nichols. Thank you very much, Mark. We appreciate your listening, and we appreciate the question. Remind me later to delve into these over the summer, because I think these are actually very deep questions. First question, do you believe Samson and Jordan will be back next year, or will they go pro? Obviously, another year of development will do them good, but sometimes agents whisper in their ears. Mark, you know, you are right, and... whispering, while creepy, does happen. Oh, no, keep going. This is fun. But I think both Samson and Jordan will be back, I think. Zach Braziller had said that sources say Jordan's going to come back, which is very wise. He has a very, very strong potential, but he needs to show that he can hit shots and maybe run a team a little bit. Jakar Sampson, I think, will be a little more interesting, because he certainly had his eye on going pro. But if he has any smart people around him, if, you know, he's still friends with LeBron and he talks to LeBron, one hopes that LeBron will say, son, no, not
it's
yet.
It's a stacked draft this year, too.
That's true. It's an incredibly stacked draft. Next year will not be. And Jakar Sampson really has things that he's close to crossing that line and becoming an interesting impact player. Close to being a kind of guy who can be really explosive and really just blow past guys and get to the basket, or close to showing that he can defend, or close to showing that he can hit a three. If he can do one of those things, I think he's a much more logical draft pick. Right now, he's an athlete who doesn't use his athleticism, who takes jump shots. That's not – you can hire other guys to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so the second question. With dismal crowds at home games, should St. John's play more Big East games on campus and only a select few at MSG? Interesting question. I don't know.
I'd say no.
I think part of the draw of playing at St. John's is that you're going to play at Madison Square Garden and play in that atmosphere. And I've been I covered the Georgetown game. It was like 6,000, 7,000 people. It still had a huge feel. It had a huge atmosphere. It felt big time. And I've done games at Carneseca. It's a nice arena. It feels small, but it doesn't have that, I don't know, there's a certain kind of like pulse-pounding excitement you get being at MSG. Or being, honestly, at some of the newer small gyms where you're like, oh, this is, you know, this is a little rocking right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say no, I think they should play at MSG. And then last question, what role will Christian Jones fill next year with Achiuwa and Sanchez leaving? We don't know. Christian Jones has to develop beyond a wing, I think, to playing a real post player. With a body like his, he should be a solidly versatile, you know, maybe free throw line and in wing. Free throw line and in post, which again makes him a power forward. And then one hopes that Chris Obekpa is going to be back. because you don't want to have your center playing that far away from the basket as Orlando Sanchez did sometimes. It's not good for spacing. But I think Jones can be a beast, but he has to go after rebounds and he has to go hard. And I think at times he was being a very cerebral last year.
Right, right. Yeah, you need that. Let me look at the question again. I'm sorry. He needs to figure out his role, and he has to play the right role. He shouldn't be playing a wing on that team, not with who's leaving.
Yeah, it was weird watching him because you kind of felt that he was a guy who was just trying to figure out, yeah, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing here?
Right.
I don't know. Kind of weird. I don't know. So, do you want to say anything about the NCAA bracket, Dave? Well, or do you want to just leave that be, and we'll just enjoy it as fans?
I want to enjoy it. I've been looking at it. I'm trying to pick one game that I think could be really interesting, and my gut is telling me that Providence, North Carolina could be really interesting. But on the other hand, I think Providence may have thrown it all out the biggest tournament. I was trying to say a little nicer than that, but yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thrown it all at the Big East tournament. But I think they could give North Carolina fits. What about you? Pick one game.
See, I'm not yet in a position to pick one game. I will say that I like the whole I know a lot of people are already picking UMass losing to the winner of Iowa and Tennessee, which will be Tennessee. And, you know, I like that. I think Tennessee could start rolling on people. I think that's very interesting. Let's see. I think the St. Louis 5-12 is a sad, sad game. I want to say, St. Louis has kind of fallen off, and that's the only thing that gives one hope for the 12s. But those are two pretty lackluster 12s. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, there's so many sort of interesting games that you're kind of like, I wonder if, kind of moments. Like watching San Diego State and New Mexico State will be funny because it's like two really big guys and a team that wants to run. it's going to be such a weird juxtaposition. I think, let's see. I'll say this. I'm just going to watch the tournament like a fan. I think that there are a lot of teams that could get gotten. I think that Nebraska might make a Sweet 16. I think Creighton is very beatable if you do the right things. And I think Louisiana Lafayette could beat them.
Okay.
I'm going there.
So you said Nebraska Sweet 16?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I could see that. They're fun to watch, Nebraska. I've started getting into some Big Ten ball, since that's where we're going to get beat next year. Mm-hmm. So, Nebraska's fun to watch.
Good coach.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I'm going to watch it like a fan. I'll fill out a bracket, but I won't go crazy over it.
Oh, you'll go a little crazy. You'll put some money down. You'll be at the bar going, come on, North Dakota State. You just got to cover.
That's exactly how I talk too when I gamble.
It's true. It's true, man.
So that's this week. Hopefully next week we'll have a little Rutgers news. Maybe they'll have hired an assistant. Maybe like somebody will have transferred. I don't know.
And we'll be talking about St. John's ridiculous run, yo.
Yeah, and whatever craziness happens during the madness, I'm sure we'll cover a little bit. So
yeah, we'll be getting set for that last day when we record.
Yeah, Sunday.
We thank you all for listening. This has been Not Half Bad once again, the podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball. And I have been Norman. I'm no longer.
Oh no. And I'm Dave of OnTheBanks.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and remember to send your listener questions to nothalfbadpod@gmail.com. We're happy to answer them, and we love the interaction. We've got a long off season coming up ahead, so maybe
you start making up some questions.
Yeah, hold them in your cheek like a chipmunk, or bury them in the dirt so you can get at them in the long cold winter of the off season
of the summer.
Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy the games.